So we've been in the series called So What? And Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower that threw the seed and the seed. And it's really important because this teaching, his parable, was in three of the four Gospels, and you see the parallel between them. And he talked about a farmer who scattered the seed, and he was trying to put it in the furrows that he had dug, but when he threw the seed, some went to hard, some went to rocky soil, some went to thorny soil, and some went to fertile soil that was there. And we're going to talk a little bit about the soils because we've never really dealt with the soils in the teaching, but I'm going to talk just a little bit about it this morning. But they said, well, what is the seed? What is it? The disciples were asking, what is the seed? And Jesus said in Luke 8:11, he said, the meaning of the parable is the seed is God's word. The seed is God's word. And what God's trying to find is a place where it'll reproduce, it'll have fruit. And remember, he said, you didn't pick me, I picked you, and I chose you that you might bear fruit and that your fruit might remain. How many believe God wants us to be productive? That's his whole goal. You want to be productive when you grow. So look at your neighbor and just tell him, say, it's grow time. Come on, tell him, it's grow time. It's grow time. But what we have to understand is there is a sower, there is the seed, which is God's word. But remember, Jesus spent more time talking about soil than he did the seed or the sower. Because what he's trying to show you is that this is the parable of soil. The word is always the same. People say, well, I read the Bible, didn't get nothing out of it. Well, I promise you, the Bible was not the problem. It is never the problem. The problem is the soil, because the problem is never with the seed, the word. There is never a problem with the word. The problem is always the soil. It's the where. So the real issue of why there's not productivity is because we have a heart problem. Because when Jesus talked about the soil, he was using that analogy to show him that the human heart is like the soil. The word is not the problem. It is the soil. And here's what I've come to the conclusion, because I've been in this a long time. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ when I was 9 years old. It's been a long time ago since that happened. I've done some dumb things in my life where I made my soil change. I changed my soil. And I thank God on this end, I'm watching fruit happen in a big time way. But here's what I know about how Satan came after me and how he's going to come to you. If Satan cannot steal the seed, then he will spoil the soil. He knows he can't stand against the word. He knows the word works every time. If he can't steal it from you and take it from you, then he will spoil the soil. He will give you, if you will spiritually, heart problems. He will spoil the soil. And that's what Jesus is talking about. This is about soil. This is about our heart. It's about the human heart being productive for the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus is relating this to the kingdom that he's saying, can I tell you, if you want to succeed in the kingdom of God, you got to understand the kind of soil you are, and you got to remain a certain kind of soil. Don't be spoiled soil. Don't be spoiled soil. I'm going to show you some spoiled soil. And he gives three of them. He gives four of them, but I want to show you three spoiled soils that he has here. The first one is the stubborn soil. It's just stubborn. Just stubborn. And the stubborn soul just rejects the seed. It just rejects it. So let's look at what Jesus said. We drop down in Luke chapter 8. Let's go to verse 12 and let's look what he said. He said, the seeds that fell on the footpath. So remember, he talked about represents those who hear the message. So they hear about Jesus. They can be sitting in here right now, hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts. Let me tell you how quick he takes it away. When you read Mark's passage, Jesus says that it is taken away immediately. Immediately. So when does Satan attack the word? When does he attack the seed? Immediately. The moment I said some things in this room, there are people watching online and people sitting in this room with all the power of the Holy Spirit, but immediately Satan came to you and took it and says, that's not for me. Well, I'm not going to do this because my parents are here, and I know my parents want me to get right with God, so I'm not going to get right with God. Immediately he came. My wife's been taught me this, and this is a setup. She brought me to church, set me up here, and I'm just going to reject this. Immediately, let me tell you, it comes fast. So what does this mean? that just is as immediate that Satan takes it, believers, you got to be immediate to obey it. The moment it comes, take it, accept it. Don't analyze it, take it, accept it. He says, it immediately comes. He says, only have the devil come and take it away from their hearts, watch this, and prevent them from believing or being saved. They're not even saved. They're lost. He comes immediately. He said, the hard path. So Jesus is trying to put in the context they can understand it, okay? So what they would say, the farmer has a field out there, and pretty soon he starts seeing people just walking through his field, and they start walking. Pretty soon, the person says, oh, well, that stuff's matted down. Let's just keep on walking. They keep on walking, keep walking. After time, now all of a sudden, it's this hard, hard path, and over time, it becomes as hard as concrete. It's like throwing seed on a sidewalk. You're throwing it down on the sidewalk. And what happens is as the seed is scattered, it immediately rejects it. This is what many people do when they hear the word. It can even be in church. They can listen to podcasts. They can go through and they can see Joel Osteen, whoever they want to see on TV. And immediately they just reject it. And I hear people in church sometimes say, you know what, preachers just don't preach like they used to. Well, preachers need to just start preaching like they used to. Well, that may be true, but I'm going to tell you something. Church folk ought to start listening like they used to. They need to listen, but they reject it. And here's the thing about the truth of God. Every time you hear the truth of God, anytime you hear a word, whether it's a podcast or someone shares it with you, and someone in this room, if you've already rejected, I want you to hear me out for a second. I want you to hear me out for a second. Anything in the word of God that is a truth that can help you, the word will do one or two things. It will either make you softer or it will harden your heart. There's only two outcomes. When you hear it, it will either soften you and you're going, maybe I should listen to that more. Let me dig some more. Or it will harden you more. The word of God is like the sun, okay? The sun that melts the butter also hardens the clay. All right. Okay. So when the word of God gets on you about a particular issue, about a particular subject, it will either make you softer toward that or you will get more hostility and even harder against that. The word only has those two outcomes. It makes you a heart of flesh, or it's going to make you you'll get harder toward it. So that's the reason why when the Holy Spirit speaks to me about any area of my life, and every area of my life is up for grabs with God. There's not going to compartmentalize anything. I'm going to open all to God. I've tried to compartmentalize, and when I do, that part of my life gets hardened toward the gospel, and guess what happens? When God tries to put the seed of a particular something issue that he wants me to be blessed in, and I reject that issue, guess what? I never come productive in that area. Because I have a stubborn heart that rejects a particular... I'm not just talking about salvation. There are people that are born again in the church in America, born again, but when God wants to talk to them about their money, boom. When God wants them to apply the word to a social issue, boom. And they never become productive in that. When God wants to talk to them about, let's show how you can honor your husband here. Well, you don't understand what he... Boom. That area never becomes productive for the believer because it will either harden your heart or it will make it softer. Especially when it comes to salvation. Every time someone hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, it either tenders them more or they get more hostility toward it. So I'm going to tell you, if you're expecting an unbelieving world to like you more as a Jesus follower, don't plan on it. There are some people getting softer towards your witness and softer towards your love. But I'm telling you, there's a place out there where it will get harder and harder and harder and harder. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit might be talking to you about. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus Christ, but some believer has been trying to show you the word of God, but you have been rejecting that area, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your home, how to have a healthy sexuality and you won't listen to the word of God, whether it's about your finances, whatever it might be, mental, spiritual, a physical issue, but you continue to resist it, that area will become less productive because it's rejecting a principle of the truth of God. But here's what the word of the Lord tells us. Come on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7 says, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. open it up and say, God, help me understand this. Help me process through this. This is not just something about Pastor Sam or my parents or the leader in my small group. Help me, Father, to learn how to grow and watch fruit begin to happen. But here's the problem in the body of Christ. Watch very carefully. I'm watching in the Church of America some believers just seeing how much they can readjust the Word of God to get by and accommodate a sin in their life. You know what the Holy Spirit's done to me? I've had to come to a place where the Word adjusts Sam Reifkogel's life. Sam Reifkogel's life does not adjust the Word to fit his life. Don't make God's Word adjust to your life. Make your life adjust to the Word of God. Jesus never adjusted his Word. The seed never changed. The seed was never the problem. The problem was that there was an ever-changing soil of the human heart that could not receive the power of the truth of the Word of God. Come on, how many of you believe the Word of God? We ought to receive it with joy so we can begin to flourish again. Amen? That is a stubborn heart that just rejects it and just keeps getting harder and harder against, or it gets more tender toward the things of God. Then Jesus talks about the next soil, which is not stubborn, it's shallow. This doesn't reject the Word of God, it removes the seed. It doesn't reject seed, it just removes it. Look at verse 13. He said, the seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Yippee! But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. So he's talking to these people. Listen, he's talking to all these people, and all of a sudden, they're looking around. They go, oh, we get it. We get it now. Because much of Israel was limestone and bedrock that was covered with a thin layer of healthy soil. So when the seed got inside of it, it appeared, it budded, but then it would stop. It would die. It would wither. Because beneath it was this limestone, it was this layers of bedrock, and it could not go all the way down. So here's the deal. The stubborn soil, the seed could not get in. But the shallow soil, the seed could not get down. So here's what happens when you first come to Jesus Christ. Some of you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Some of you are watching online. Some of you have done this before. And you say, I'm coming back to the Lord and want to get back in my relationship with God and start living for Him. What happens is you get exuberant to receive Jesus Christ. Now, I love the lights. I love drums. I love it loud. I love it exciting. I love it in tune. I love it. I love it. I love the Hammond B3. Give me a B3. I'll tell you the B3 organ, man. Oh, come on, all you old rock and rollers. You love that old B3, man. Thing. You know, that's an anointed instrument. In fact, if you'll look, the measurements of the Hammond B3 organ are the exact same measurements of the Ark of the Covenant. You'll know. You'll find it right there. I love the B3. I love all that. I love when the preacher gets at a fever pitch. I love it when they get excited. I love when the anointing. I love exuberance. And that's what happens to many new converts. You come in on the joy side of exuberance and exhilaration and excitement. But then when trouble comes to you, then when you're tempted, you've never allowed the line upon line, precept upon precept of the teaching of the Word of God, the simple discipline to say, I want to be in the house of God. I want to be in a small group. Hey, you know what? I want to go to Thrive because I need it in the middle of the week to feed the seed. I got to cultivate this. When you don't do that, trials come, troubles come, and when bad weather starts hitting you, guess what happened? When the storms come, you have no roots and your faith falls flat. And then we start saying things, well, if that's what God really is, then I have nothing to do with Him. He says what's happened to this is they become a topsoil Christian. But God says, what I want to do is, Sam, I want to do something that when the storms come, your roots go deeper. I've watched this my whole life. Many of you have watched this, or some of your brand new converts in Jesus Christ, and you're wondering, why is this happening? Because Jesus does not want you to remain a topsoil Christian. When trials happen, watch this. There are two things that with trials. Trials have two sides. First, when trials happen and when God allows the trial, here's what I've discovered in all these years that I've been serving God. As much pain and suffering that I felt or you're going through right now, is that God is always developing me. He's not trying to destroy me. There's something he's trying to increase my capacity to hear him more. And now as I've gotten older, it's not so much as why is this happening, but God, what are you trying to say to me and through me? He's developing you. But Satan's outcome, when trials come, when temptation comes, oh, he's not trying to develop you. He is trying to absolutely destroy your faith. And God is trying to increase your capacity for more of his presence, for hear more of his voice, for more of his glory to come through your life. But topsoil Christians cannot overcome and survive the storm because they have no roots. To say, God, teach me what you're saying. You know, how many believe it's time to go beyond just exuberance and exhilaration of Christianity? It's about three of you, but I get that. What we're creating is a high maintenance, low impact Christian in America. If they get the least offended, they cannot survive the offense. I mean, it's crazy. High maintenance, got to do more to keep them engaged and involved, but they're doing less and less for the kingdom of God. God says it's time to move beyond the exuberance. And I love what Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7 says, because when the storms come, they're gone. Because the roots, it's not that the root, this one wouldn't let the stubborn seed wouldn't let it get in. This one just can't get down. But Jeremiah 17, 7 says this, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. It makes no difference where the storm's blowing. It makes no difference where the sun is scorching down, the trials and the temptations and the trials of life. Can I tell you, they continue to still produce because there's something that they have dug down to. There's an aquifer below. There is a river down beneath. You can't see it, but they have tapped into the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, every time you sing a worship song, every time you come to church, every time you laugh with a believer, every time you get in a small group, every time you come to a service, every time you read the scripture, your roots are going deeper, 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 that when the storm comes, you can stand the storm because you've got a depth of the Spirit of living water springing up out of your innermost being in the midst of a drought. Oh, can somebody say amen? So we're talking there, first of all, it's just shallow soil, but then Jesus identifies the third spoiled soil. It's the strangled soil. This one doesn't remove it. This one just restricts the seed. Look at verse 14. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represented those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out. It's just crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. Never grow into maturity. See, the stubborn soul, the seed couldn't get in. The shallow seed, the seed couldn't get out. Couldn't get down. But the strangled seed, the seed couldn't get out. It just gets crowded out. The Bible even says it gets choked out little by little. There's other things competing for it. So this year, Pastor Brenda and I, well, it's more Pastor Brenda, she wanted to have a garden. I do not have a green thumb. So we did one of those, what do you call those gardens? The container garden, what do they call it? Huh? What is it? Raised garden, that's it. That tells you how much we know about gardening right there. So we are packing in all this stuff. It's like we wanted to see stuff now. So we had all these, but we discovered that it was, we wanted this. Big ones. We wanted the big ones. But what happened was we had just one of these elevated gardens, these raised gardens, and we had everything packed in there. So everything started competing for it. And we got, I think they're like raisins. They just wouldn't grow. They couldn't go any deeper. It was robbing everything else. I wonder sometimes as believers, when Jesus looks at this, he's going, there's other things that are coming in. He says they're choking it out. And he says three things in reality, he says, are choking the relationship of those who start with Jesus Christ. And he starts talking about, he says, all of these troubles, all these things that come into life, the cares of the world, that's the problems of life. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ followers, we face the same problems non-Christians out there do. The same devil that hates them probably hates us even more. And he comes against us, but the problems of life start choking them out. And then the prosperity of life, the riches of this life, and then the pleasures of this life. You know what's so interesting now? Too many of us are more worried about our home here than making sure we have a home there. Friends, can I just tell you something? Please, please do not make this planet your home. I know there's one day we're coming back and we'll have the millennial reign over this earth for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ. I understand all that, but I'm telling you something. Please do not make this world your home. So many people care more about this world that you're not worried about the world that's to come. And he says the pleasures of life start getting, we're getting so consumed with, I got to have my comforts, I got to have my ease, and we never want to pay the cost to follow Jesus Christ or pay the cost that others can hear about Jesus Christ. So we don't look at our wealth as how do I use this to leverage to win people to Jesus Christ? My time, how do I leverage this to bring people to Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you something, friends. The more and more I see what's happening in this world, I can promise you one thing. This place is not my home. Isn't it amazing how God will just allow enough things to happen in our world that make you think, But he says this describes the people that will walk away from Jesus Christ. He's describing some people that sit in churches today where they have one hand on Jesus Christ and say, I want to make sure I get this part. But on the other hand, they're grabbing a hold of the world and say, I got to have my pleasure. I got to have what I want. What about me? What about me? Not about the world. Not about the world to come. Not about eternity. But what's temporally happening right now. And they think this place is forever. They hold on to Jesus with one thing, hold on to the world with another hand and saying, come on, God, I want commitment. I'm not doubting that they're not broken over their sins. They're broken over their sins, but they have never broken from their sins. And the way you can tell that they're never broken over their sins is they never really come to the point of salvation through Jesus Christ, and they never come to sorrow for repentance. They don't feel bad about their sin. They want to hang on to both of them. But friends, how many of you know today, just like Joshua said, he said, as for me, choose you this day, he said, who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. It's time to sell out radically to Jesus Christ, his lordship and his teaching. He says, this is spoiled soil that will never know me, never know the fullness of me, never get the maturity of what I want for them. But how many of you believe this morning we're in this place because we're wanting God to till up the soil, put the fertilizer of the Holy Spirit, and let the rain of his glory just come down on us? How many of you want that today? God, just start filling this up. I want the productivity of the kingdom. That's what he calls successful soil. That's not a heart that removes, rejects, or resists. This is a heart, my friend, that reproduces. And look what Jesus said. I love what he said. He said, and the seeds that fell on good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who do what, everybody? Hear God's word. They cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. No matter what you've lost for the kingdom, it's always going to be bigger what you get back. My point is this, everybody. Getting saved is not enough. Come to the altar with playing, singing Just As I Am Without One Plea, signing a membership card, or texting Forgiven to 616-531-2100. By the way, if you gave your heart to the Lord, text Forgiven to 616-531-2100 because I want to help you grow in the Lord. If you gave your heart to Jesus today, I want to help you grow in the Lord. But just getting saved is not enough. Can we say that out loud? Just getting saved is not enough. I got to grow. I got to grow. Look what Colossians 2:6 says, and we're going to close with this. He says, and now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must follow him. But look what he says. You must continue to follow him. Not just receive him, but continue to follow him. Let your roots go down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. And you will do what, everybody? Overflow with thankfulness. Are you getting this? The stubborn soil, the seed couldn't get in. The shallow seed, the seed couldn't get down. The strangled seed, the seed couldn't get out. But in successful soil, the seed grows up. It produces something. There's more than what you released in the first place. And that's why it's so important. In fact, there are some of you watching online and some of you in here. We got a grow track that happens right after the service, right at 12 o'clock. Grow. You say, I want to start making my heart fertile soil where the Spirit can grow right after the service. Just get online. Get on the app and you'll join right there and start growing in the Lord. And Jesus taught this. He says, if you want successful soil, he says, these are good-hearted people who hear. And that word hear there meant pay attention. In the Greek, it literally meant to pay attention, understands, and obeys. They get it. They're not trying to dissect, how can I make this easier so I can get by and do my thing? He said, no. Understands, obeys, and then it said to speak it. You know, sometimes you just can't hear the word. How many know you got to declare and testify and speak that word? It meant to speak. This means a person that hears, it doesn't go in one ear and then go out the other. It means they hear with their ears, they think with their mind, and then it gets down in their heart. And then he says, they don't just hear, he says, but they cling to it. And I love that word cling. In the Greek, it literally meant to hold fast to it. It meant to seize it. Watch this. It means to continue to believe it. Not when the exuberance and the lights are on. Not when you're listening to your favorite praise song. But he says, when you're in the throes of it and you don't feel it and you don't see it, he says, you cling to it, you hold fast to it, you seize it, and you continue to hold it. Because here's what you know. He says, those kind of people in that fertile soil, they patiently wait. Everybody say patient. They patiently produce. And that word patient there, when I looked that up in the Greek, you know what that lit? It meant to endure. I love this one. It means to suffer together with someone. You know what, believers, or some of us in our small groups, somebody you know going through something right now where Satan's trying to steal the seed. Don't go, well, I knew they wouldn't last. Ah, they got saved last week. I knew it was all show. He's doing all show because there's a girl in the young adults ministry. He just came down for that. No, you suffer with him and say, let me help you grow in the Lord. Let me show you got to get committed beyond the exuberance and beyond people that hurt your feelings. When they're going through the valley of despair, you're there with the word of God. Keep on pumping in the word of God to them. You suffer with someone. It meant to wait expectantly. That word patient meant to be on the alert. Because friends, I'm telling you, when those people who hear and they cling and they seize it, he says wait patiently because there's going to come a suddenly and all of a sudden, when you don't even realize it, a huge blessing, Jesus said, is waiting for the people of God who will cling to that. How many believe, friends, it's time to receive his seed of his word. Hear it, cling to it, and say, God, I'll wait for it in the name of the Lord. How many are ready to do that this morning? Amen.